I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to a brand new episode of Muslim Lady here on IRIB English Radio. Thank you so very much for joining us on this wonderful day or night, whatever time of the day it is at your corner of the world. Here in the studio, I have the honor and pleasure of being joined by my wonderful sister and special guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear Sister Zainab, honored to be here. And inshallah, hoping to have a fruitful discussion today.
I, as we explained in previous episodes, we can't imagine such people cohabitating, quote unquote, with the opposite gender without an Islamic contract that would make it lawful for them. What are we going to explore about this topic today?
So one dimension that we didn't really talk about and shed much light on was parenting. Mm-hmm. And what happens in this scenario? I was watching a YouTube video today, and this lady, this researcher, was sharing the result of the paper that she and a co-author had done on what happens to the two relationship in the two cases of cohabitation and marriage when a child enters that
picture,
right?
Yep.
And she was saying that 1/4 of cases in cohabiting couples actually break up after the child enters. Imagine how much complexity comes in the picture.
Yeah.
The second generation of homosexuals, God knows in the second generation of, you know, what happens to the mindset of this child, what happens to the psychological
Don't worry about that at all. Yeah, maybe this child will be a little messed up, that specific child of that.
It will be messed up for good.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, at
some point, humanity is going to restart itself. Don't worry about that. And that's totally fine.
This is the point of this discussion, that there is no end to the changes and to the needs and to the new ways of life that we're making for ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? And these are just instances that if you let loose your own desires and your own wisdom, your own intellect, this is where it's going to lead you.
Mm.
Whereas if you come back to this path of religion where it lays everything straightforward for you, you have one family, you have certain commitments, certain legal and certain ethical commitments towards each other. Everything is clear cut. Life is made so much more simple for you this way. This is what I'm saying. This lady that I'm following on Instagram, she's in Sweden, and she was saying that a couple of days ago, my colleague was absent for, I think, maybe like a month or so. And then he came back and he said, I'm a dad now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, how come you're a dad? I haven't, you know, like you haven't said anything. And he's like, they were homosexuals. Mm-hmm. He was gay.
Yeah.
He said, we have gone to another country. We had
adopted
a surrogate mother.
Uh-huh.
Taken our child. Mm-hmm. And she has given birth to our child, to our son. Mm-hmm. And now Bill and Jack, we have our son with us. This homosexuality becoming legal and them having the right to have a family, to raise children. This is a new phenomenon. It's in the past decade. They've been homosexuals, but they've been illegal. They haven't had the chance to get married officially. Even some branches of Christianity have recognized them as couples, as married couples.
Right.
So what I'm saying is that the next 20, 30, 40 years will be faced with a generation, the world, that there are no set of values. Anything that you think is good, let's not judge people. Yeah. And I have a lot of problem with this issue that let's not judge people. Yeah, let's not judge people. And there's this verse in the Quran that do not have bad suspicion on about people, because a lot of your suspicions will turn out, they will be sins, because what you're thinking about other people might not be true. And it's just what's going on in your mind. Yeah. Yep. Let's not judge people when you don't have complete evidence. But sometimes what's going on in the world is really, if you can't judge, then you will be just so confused. Mm. We should have our set of values. We should know where we're heading.
Absolutely.
So
And you know, there's a difference between, I feel, judging and deciding whether what someone is doing is against my set of values or not. You know, because at the end of the day, well, it's your life. They're obviously not going to put you and I in the same grave. But
then again, you're
but
not
then again,
put...
it's like the most I can do in regard to another person's actions is not committed myself, right? If it's a random homosexual person in Western Europe, أمر بالمعروف ونهي عن المنكر, enjoining the good and forbidding the bad means
nothing,
right? Means jack to them, that obligatory law.
You know what, Zaina? The best form of أمر بالمعروف these days is to be a practical role model yourself.
Yeah.
To be a practical example, not even a role model, because they don't even want you to be the role model.
Exactly.
To just to
be
just
a good person.
Exhibit, show, display one form, one norm of life where they can see that within the confinements of this sort of family or this sort of union, things happen more fluidly. And you know what? It's not just today or tomorrow, next year, 10 years of me and you. It's the next generations to come. And we are not, I think we are being very simplistic to just see the current situation of, you know, events. We should be a little more farsighted and think about what would happen to the children of my children, to the children of my children. What would happen to their mindset?
No, they'll be fine.
I don't think so.
I have so much faith.
Unless humanity is restarted.
It will be. That's why I have so much faith. They'll be fine.
In that case, I agree with you.
Everything's going to be fine.
We're in the same boat.
Because humanity does that every once in a while. It deviates a whole lot, and then stuff hits the fan. Everything has officially gone south. And there's no redeeming itself anymore. And things are just going to get worse and worse and darker. And that's when...
Yeah, this beautiful verse in the Quran that says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينَ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ This is exactly what we're talking about. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Which means, so set your heart as a person of pure faith on this religion, the original nature endowed by Allah according to which He originated mankind. There is no altering Allah's creation. Yep. That is the upright religion, but most people do not know.
Do not know, exactly. I'm not necessarily saying that there's going to be a great flood. I mean, who am I to say anything? But humanity will restart itself. There will be some sort of revolutionary movement again. And everything's going to be fine. That I'm not worried about at all. I'm just, I'm mostly just worried about the now, you know, and the confusion that such arrangements create among people, number one. Number two, the effort we need to exert and the time and energy we need to spend in order to debunk this approach to life.
It's not like, okay, at one point in life, everything's we're gonna figure out, oh, we made a mistake, let's all go back. It's not gonna be like that. There's gonna be a big natural disaster coming where people and families and the whole universe will just be shattered into pieces. And then Allah says, He wipes, he just shakes the tissue where, you know, the planet that we're living on. And then the new system, a new planet, you know.
New population.
New population. Everything will be starting from afresh.
This is what I think will happen.
Of course, what I just explained is the description of Qiyamah. But then we're talking about a second chance to live, which will come after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala. And then where it's you situate the scenario that you explained, where people are so, even the Muslims are so deviated that when he comes, they're going to say, oh my God, he's a new, he's bringing something else. The Islam, the Islam that he is talking about, it's not what we have known.
Yeah.
And he's bringing a new religion. So that's when there's going to be a lot of wars going on in the world. And a lot of people actually, without resisting, they would just accept the Islam that he introduces from far in the East and the West, right? Without even, you know, without any bloodshed, because it's fitra, it's within their nature, what he's bringing to people.
We're going to be back after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Another possibility could be that people are just going to get fed up with it. You know, because we can pretend to be something against what we truly are for so long, you know? And because the nafs is such a tricky little element in our existence, and the devil, these two things we really shouldn't underestimate, like seriously. These they're so tricky and they're so deceiving, but they can only trick us for a while. You know, that at the end of the day, that part of God that's been entrusted within us, the part where he says in the Quran, نَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, I blew a part of my soul into this clay figure in order to give it life, that part is going to go so restless after a while. And it's going to try to struggle so hard to break free that people and societies and communities and maybe these few next generations that we're so worried about, they're going to be so fed up with all this nonsense. They're going to be like, enough is enough.
They're going to be the pioneers of going to the Deen of Hanif.
Exactly. And they could be the ones who create the groundwork for the reappearance of Sahib al-Zaman. That's why I have so much faith in them, you know, because a lot of narrations point to the fact that drawing close to the reappearance of Al-Hujjah alayhi salam, the human logic and intellect is going to be so developed that it's going to be like, well, we're going to follow Imam Zaman. What else are we going to do? It only makes sense. Because they've seen what a horrible, horrible place the world could have been when it was just left to the whim of mere mortals. And they're going to be like, you know what? I think I'm going to give this whole God thing a try. And society will just gradually develop. I mean, God knows what he's doing, obviously. And we're all out of time. Thank you so very much for being with us on this episode of Muslim Lady. Until another salam and greeting, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He's the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.